Lessons from the New Testament. Thou Art the Christ by Elder C. Scott Groh of the 70. Let us allow the Savior's words to transform our very lives as we seek to become more like Him. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. So stated the Apostle Peter in response to the Lord's question, Whom say ye that I am? Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. And so testify all writers of that sacred text known as the New Testament. The New Testament is full of first-hand accounts of mortals and declarations of angels proclaiming the birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection of the only begotten Son of God. From thence comes its majesty. At the Savior's birth, an angel declared, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. On the morning of the Savior's resurrection, an angel spoke again, saying, He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. Angels prophesied of his second coming with these words, This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. The Savior testified of himself. The New Testament also tells of events that transpired that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet and other Old Testament prophets. Matthew chapter 12, verse 17. A stunning example of this prophecy fulfilled is found early in the ministry of the Savior. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 19, also Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. Jesus then closed the book and startled the congregation in the synagogue with these words, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Luke chapter 4, verse 21. Everyone there would have been familiar with that messianic prophecy, but never before had anyone declared that he was the literal fulfillment of that prophecy, let alone someone whom they had watched grow up in their small community. Jesus was telling them that he was the long-awaited Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. This is just one of many occasions recorded in the New Testament when Jesus of Nazareth bore his personal witness that he was the literal Son of God the Father, foreordained to be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John chapter 1, verse 29. To the 12 apostles he said, Behold, we shall go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he shall rise again. Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 through 19. To the Jews Jesus said, speaking of himself, The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment. John chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. He concluded his admonition to them by saying, Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. John chapter 5, verse 39. To the people in general, many of whom followed him to Capernaum, after being among the 5,000 whom he had miraculously fed, Jesus taught, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. John chapter 6, verses 51 and 54. Many were troubled by this statement. Could the man whom they knew truly be the Son of God? Jesus responded, "Doth this offend you? What, and if he shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" John chapter 6, verses 61 through 62. To Martha, whose brother Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, Jesus declared, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." John chapter 11, verse 25. To his apostles, as they ate the Last Supper with their Lord, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John chapter 14, verse 6. In answer to Pilate's question, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus responded, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." John chapter 18, verse 37. To God the Father in the great intercessory prayer, he said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." John chapter 17, verses 3 through 4. His mortal mission. What was the Savior's work? First, it was to overcome physical death. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. Through his mortal mother, he had power to die. Through his immortal father, he had power to resurrect. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. After enduring the agony of the cross, Jesus voluntarily died, saying, "It is finished." John chapter 19, verse 30. "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. The second part of his work or mission was to overcome spiritual death. To Mary's husband Joseph, the angel said that Jesus shall save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Fallen man was to be redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Savior made his soul an offering for sin. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. He told his three chief apostles, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." Then he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Matthew chapter 26, verses 38 through 39. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood, falling down to the ground. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Through the agony and anguish of his very soul, he voluntarily suffered and paid for the sins of all men. In all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. He was the only one qualified to pay that ransom. Because of his infinite atonement, we can inherit eternal life through exercising faith in his name, repenting, and keeping the covenants associated with the authorized ordinances of the priesthood. That ye might believe. The ultimate testimony of the divinity of Jesus of Nazareth is that borne by God the Father. At the baptism of Jesus and again on the Mount of Transfiguration, Heavenly Father spoke from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and chapter 17, verse 5. In our dispensation, Heavenly Father gave the same witness to the prophet Joseph Smith in the sacred grove when he said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Joseph Smith History 1, verse 17. Near the end of the book that bears his name, the Apostle John made the following summary statement. "And many signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. What a blessing it is to have these first-hand testimonies of the Savior and his ministry so readily available to us. As we study the New Testament this year, let our hearts be open to the grand message contained in this sacred book. Let us allow the Savior's words to transform our very lives as we seek to become more like him. End of the article, "Thou Art the Christ," by Elder C. Scott Groh of the 70.